And so that makes us a little bit odd, or a whole lot odd, in our world. But David said, if you don't like it now, he said, it's going to be more vile than thus, or it's going to be worse than this. And I just feel that way tonight. It's going to get worse than this. This thing has a tremendous updraft to it. The redemptive lift of God is moving in our lives. And I just get beside myself sometimes thinking about how good God is, and how lost I was, and how far God has brought us. Isn't it great? Clap your hands once more. Lift up your voice and magnify. If you love him, just open your heart and tell him about it tonight. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And I want to make sure she's in. Oh, I don't see her. Sister Brittany Corey. Oh, she stepped out. I'll have to wait till she comes back in to celebrate her properly. She has to be here. We can't celebrate her in her absence. So we're going to read tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Doesn't our media team do a great job? They really do. If you're a media team in a Baptist church, you just set the thing and kick back and drink a cup of coffee. But this place is alive and fluid, and it changes every 5 minutes, and just, it's a crazy environment for a media team. And they do a great, great job. Brother Dustin's trained up a whole crowd here. And they do a wonderful job. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Now we're breaking into the context. And he's talking about some of the things that he's been going through. He gets beat up a lot. And he gets shipwrecked. And he gets thrown in jail. And people hate on him a lot. And things go on in his life. And he gets beaten with rods. And he gets persecuted. Oh, there's Sister Brittany. She's back. We want to celebrate you tonight. She has completed and passed her written boards. Pray for her. She has the oral part of that test or that exam yet to go. But when this is over, she will then, as I had said before erroneously, she will then be a board-certified surgeon. And we're so very proud of you and so glad for what God's done in your life, Sister Brittany. Praise God. Praise God. So, Paul said, I've been through some things. I suffer some things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, I've been through the fire, and I've been through the flood, and I've had Job's friend looking at me saying, if you were living right, you wouldn't have all these problems in your life. And judge me by the condition. Judge me by the fact that I just washed up on the shore on a Mediterranean island, holding on to a piece of driftwood. He said, but I suffer these things for the cross and for the King of Kings. He said, but nevertheless, even though God's led me in some places that I might not have signed on for, and even though I've been in the jailhouse with all of the lawbreakers and the sinners, and even though the social structure may look down on me, he said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you love his word tonight, give him praise. And as you're seated, give him thanks. Clap your hands, lift your voice, give God praise for his word. We thank you, mighty God, for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege to handle your word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. And everyone say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of his people. I'm not ashamed of his word. I'm not ashamed of his church. I'm not ashamed of his cross. I'm not ashamed of his mandate to separate. I'm not ashamed of holiness. I'm not ashamed to pray out loud. I'm not ashamed to lift my hands in the sanctuary. I'm not ashamed to lift my hand in the street. I'm not ashamed to pray. I'm not ashamed to say amen. I'm not ashamed to cry hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to shout. I'm not ashamed to dance. I'm not ashamed. Somebody say it. I'm not ashamed to worship. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He said, I'm not ashamed because I know the company that I'm with. I'm not ashamed because I know the cause that I serve. I'm not ashamed because I had an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the road to Damascus. I'm not ashamed because he identified when I asked him, who are you, Lord? Who are you, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Who are you, Creator God? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. He said, I'm not ashamed anymore because I've had an encounter with God. And when you have an encounter with God, you're not ashamed of anything a man might think about you. You just want to be closer to God, and you just want to please him with all of your life. Praise God. I know whom I have believed. If you know tonight, give somebody a high five by you and say, I know him. I know whom I have believed. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of anything we do here. Matter of fact, anybody ought to be ashamed. It ought to be the devil. It ought to be the sinner in the street. It ought to be the man that knows he ought to serve God, but he won't serve God. It ought to be the NFL star and the NBA star and the... It ought to be those folks. They ought to be ashamed, but they don't know. They don't know enough to be ashamed. They're standing there in the midst of their shame, and they don't even know what they are and what they do is shameful. But now we know, and we've encountered, and we're not ashamed of this at all. Praise God. I know whom I have believed. You know, you're too late to tell me. You might try to discourage me from this behavior, but you're too late. You might try to discourage me from the worship, but it's too late. You might try to discourage me from the doctrine or for the theological base on which this is built, but you're way too late to tell me. You might tell some youngster. You may tell some green person. You might tell somebody that hadn't heard and hadn't walked with it, but friend of mine, you're too late. I've already seen him in action. I already know him for what he can do. He's already blessed my life. My God, he gave me the Holy Ghost and I talked in tongues. He washed my sins away and I felt the weight of sin come off my heart and come off my life. He changed my life. I was moving steadily toward hell and he gave me a free course toward heaven. He's blessed my life. He's blessed my marriage. He's blessed my family. He's healed my body when I've been sick. He's let me participate in the greatest thing on the earth, his church of the living God. I've walked in places where God has poured out his miracle power. He changed my mind. He gave me peace that passes all understanding. He gave me joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He walks with me. My God, sometimes he starts talking to me in the middle of the night. Sometimes he talks to me as soon as my foot hits the deck in the morning. Isn't that amazing that the God of all creation, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? But you're too late to tell me that he's not there, and you're too late to tell me that you can't know him, and you're too late to tell me that he's not a good God, and you're too late to tell me that I'm wasting my time. If I'm wasting my time, I want to waste some more time with Jesus. I want to waste some more time with him. My God, if prayer is a waste of time, I'm going to pray longer. I'm going to waste some more time. You're too late to tell me. We sing, he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He put the grits on my table. The children's choir used to sing that. Praise God. You can't tell me. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I know him. I'm not worried about this. I can't understand. You know, the only thing I can conclude, folks that come to church and they don't have liberty in worship, they just don't know him yet. They hadn't met him yet. That's the difference between David in the main street with a linen ephod, leaping and dancing and running with all of his might, acting like Daffy Duck, and Michael, who's in the window, pompous and removed and full of disdain and contempt for a worshiper. Well, she just doesn't know him. She just needs to get to know him. She just needs an introduction to him. But we're not ashamed of him. Praise God. I am not ashamed. I am persuaded. I've been convinced. I don't have a doubt. I am fully involved. I am completely ensconced in this position. I am persuaded that he is able. I am convinced that he is able. And I want everybody with a problem to lift up their hand and say, but he is able. I want everybody with sickness in your body say, yes, but God is able. I want everybody that has financial trouble to say, yes, but he is able. I want everybody that needs a miracle to say, yes, but he is able. I want anybody with any kind of problem of any kind to say, well, yes, but he is able. I'm not ashamed. I'm persuaded. I know him, and I know that he is able. I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know you did it when you were a kid, but recently, have you just lay out in the yard and looked up at the stars or watched the clouds rush across the sky against a backdrop of light and moon and stars on a summer night? Have you just stopped in your tracks, stopped, got out of your busy schedule, and considered the beauty of that little crescent sliver of moon and a star positioned right by it, elegantly and with thought and with purpose? Have you encountered and thought about the creative power of God? Psalms 147:1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. That means it's beautiful. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. It means after it's been destroyed, he builds it up again. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. After they've been scattered all over the world, he gathers them back again, which, just as a historic note, is impossible, and it is unparalleled in all of history. Israel's been scattered and regathered twice. No other nation's ever experienced that once. You ought to be impressed. He heals the broken in heart. Anybody here ever had him heal your broken heart? Can anybody testify, my God heals a broken heart and binds up their wounds? Is anybody here can say he lifted the stone of grief out of my heart and took the weight of oppression off of my shoulders? The word of God said he bears our griefs and he carries our sorrows. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He tells the number of the stars. Astronomers and scientists estimate, and with Hubble, they revise their estimate. And Hubble, even though he's gone a long way for mankind, he's just a tiny little thing in a tiny little neighborhood of the great universe, the broad, expansive universe. And so from where they're standing, they understand that there's probably about 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. That would be our galaxy. 100 billion stars along with our star, and that's just our little swirling pocket of stars, 100 billion of them. Hubble has a range enough now to see 100 billion galaxies. Near-term estimates would be there's maybe 200 billion galaxies, but that's just an estimate because the thing just seems to go on and on and on. And the numbers are staggering. If you just take those first estimates I just gave you, that's a billion trillion stars. Well, we're already past your capacity and mine, it just fell off. The whole discussion just fell off the side of my brain because I can't even begin to comprehend that. But to help you understand, if you've been to the beach or you've ever been down to the ocean or you ever walked in a desert, they estimate that the number of stars is greater than every grain of sand on the face of the earth. And he tells them all. He knows them all. And he calls them all by name. And not one of them fails. They all have purpose. They all have design. It's not haphazard. He pays attention to the greatest thing in detail and the tiniest thing in detail. He is a God that is, according to Isaiah and to the psalmist, in infinite. Isaiah says, Isaiah 40 and 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The Bible told him the world was round before Columbus. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. Lift up your eyes on high. He encourages you to take in the creation because the creation speaks of the Creator. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, that he is strong in power and not one of them fails. The God that you're serving tonight, the God of whom you are not ashamed, the God that you say, I know whom I serve, and I know him. I've met him, and he's. I want you to understand that every star is in every place and is powered by his power, and not one of them fails. They go on and on and on, unbelievable in their majesty and unbelievable in their power, and he made them all. But I want you to understand this. He made all of that as a backdrop for what he's doing here. There is not another place like this. Humanity will continue to look for a place and say, maybe there's a place over here that kind of looks like it's the right distance from its star. Maybe it's like this, but I'll tell you, this sweet little blue-green orb that he's let us live on, there's not another place. It's got this sweet little envelope of atmosphere around it. It's just the perfect distance from the sun. He gives us seasons. He gives us a hydrologic cycle. He's got it all prepared from the foundation of the earth and everything. Every star, every constellation, every galaxy, they are all there against the milky darkness of sky to be a backdrop for the drama of redemption that he is enacting on the face of the earth. And Paul said, I know him. I'm not ashamed of him. I know him, and I know that he is able. Son, daughter, you need to hear tonight. If he can hold the sun up without strings, and the earth is just seated out in space without a tether, and the moon is in its place, and none of them fail. You need to know that he can take care of your little life. You need to know that he's got what you need, and that he is able. He is able. He is able. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's what he told Abraham. He said, come out of your tent, Abe. Your mind is too small. Your vision is too small. You need to look up into the stars and understand, I did that. I am doing that. I sustain them. Don't you know I can sustain you? And it moved Abraham. I want you to get out of the office and get closer to nature. I want you to take a walk on the beach or just get out in the woods or lay down like you did when you were a kid and look at the blades of grass and consider the splendor and the power of those things. I know you're busy, and I know you're real busy with adult things, and you don't have time for that anymore. But when you get disconnected from that, you can get disconnected from him. But it's the childlike fascination with the creation around you that can preach to you every day of your life. It may be as powerful as your prayer. You may need to get out in your prayer time and get out in the yard and consider the ant and look at the power of God in minuscule things. I want you to understand, he provides for the sparrow, and the geese always know which direction to fly. My, this is Antarctica. How did I get here? They got it built in. They don't have GPS. They just got it. Don't you know he can take care of you? And that was his reasoning when he said, there's not one sparrow that falls that I don't see it. and you're worth far more than a sparrow. Don't you know? Don't you know? Praise God. And we sing. I sing because I'm happy. Somebody say, I sing because I am free. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know, does anybody know? And I know, does anybody know? And I know he watches over me. Somebody say, I sing. Now, you may lose your song if you get muddled down in the office or in school, or you lose touch with him. But if you get back in touch with him, you'll sing because you're happy. My God, when I touch him, I get joy down in my heart. You'll sing because you're free. You'll remember his eye is on the tiny sparrow. And I know that he watches over me. Come on. He's taking care of those little baby birds. You're worth more than a baby bird to him. He never died for a star. He never died for an animal. He died for humanity. He died, it's personal. He died for you. My God, Paul said, I know him and I'm not ashamed of him because I know that he's able. There's no searching of his understanding. Hast thou not known, verse 28, hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. Don't be afraid to wake him up in the middle of the night. Don't be afraid to bother him with some small things. What's important to you is important to him. He loves you. He helps you find things. How many of you got little kids? How many of you got little kids? Are you one of those mean, hateful parents that when the little kid comes, you say, don't bother me. I can't find my, don't bother me. I don't have time for you stupid kids. Well, that's Jesus. Jesus said, if your son asks an egg, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for bread, would you give? He said, and you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more, your heavenly Father? He, in that particular passage, would give the Holy Ghost. God cares about you. God sees you. God knows you. God wants to, he wants to bless you and help you. They that wait, verse 31, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because he's there and he's able and he's good. And he keeps us. Now listen, if he can keep the sun and the moon and the stars in their places, and just think of the perfect balance involved in all of that. Every planet we can see, everything we can see is a lifeless rock. They don't have what it takes. He's just scattered them out there for a backdrop against what he's doing here. This beautiful, perfect earth is where he's doing the business of redemption. Listen. He scattered his people all over the world for 2,000 years. When he destroyed Jerusalem under Titus in 70 AD, they were scattered. They were gone until 1948. And then God, it's as if he sounded a trumpet and gathered them back. And then the Arabs tried to drive them into the sea. And he said, no, you're not. And they defeated all the Arab nations. And they weren't big enough and they weren't strong enough and they didn't have the munitions and they didn't have the weapons. But it doesn't matter because the battle is not yours. The battle is God's, and God, if God is with you, then who can be against you? And they defeated all the Arab nations again in 1966, and they defeated them all again in 1973, and they're back in the land as an ensign for all nations. You get in trouble and you're having problems, you need to remember Israel's back in the land. And the sun came up this morning and the moon's going to be where it's supposed to be and the birds are having a great time outside and I just need to relax and let God take care of it all. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Lift up a voice. Somebody lift up a shout unto God. I just want you to get out from under the weight of that oppression. I want you to move out from under the cloud of that depression. I want you to walk back into the sunlight of what God is able to do and who he is. Paul said, I've been going through some hard things, but I'm not worried about it and I'm not ashamed of it. He said, because I know whom I have believed. Praise God. He's made it all. He keeps, in your leisure, read some of the latter chapters, like 38 through 40 in Job, where God appears to Job and says, now gird up your loins and answer me like a man. I'm not going to talk to you like you're a little girl. No offense, little girls. He said, but we're going to talk like a man. He said, were you there when I set the foundations of the earth? Were you there when I told the sea, come this far and no further? And he begins to take Job to school and remind him of who God is and what God has done. Every leaf on every tree, every blade of grass, I'm persuaded that he is able. At the Exodus, and I believe the word of God. How about you? Are you a fundamentalist? I believe the word of God. I believe he's parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. And the water was a wall unto them on the right and on the left. I believe that he parted the River Jordan at flood stage. And they gathered stones out of the bottom of that river. And they built memorials at Gilgal and in the bottom of the stream. And when the waters closed over again, they had made their way into the promise of God. And God had brought them out of slavery and brought them into promise. I believe he vanquished their enemies. He called it to hell on some. He swallowed some up in the earth. He provided for them. He ran a flood down and sunk their chariots in some situations. He rained down fire on others. God vanquished their enemy. And if you've got an enemy tonight, I want you to know that God is on your side and God is bigger than your enemy. Well, praise God. If you're a little boy and you got a giant, God can take your giant down to size. He can provide water if you're in a desert place. He's a God that makes water in the desert. If you're in a storm tonight, he's a God that comes walking on the face of a stormy sea and he can calm the raging sea. He made oil and meal that never stopped for a widow lady in Zarephath. He hung Haman on his own gallows and he'll do that. If you're in a bind and the enemy's trying to hang you, God will turn that thing upside down and he'll hang your enemy on his own gallows. He fed the multitude. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, do you believe he did all those things? Tell me how bad your problems are again. Do you believe he did all the things that the Bible said he did? Do you believe he did all the things? Do you believe he called Lazarus out of the grave? Do you believe that he raised up the widow of Nain's son? Do you believe he opened Bartimaeus' eyes? My God, now tell me your problem again. Tell me your problem again. Tell me what's going on in your life that's so, so heavy and so terrible that God can't handle it. I want you to know he's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a way maker. He's a mighty God. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Somebody loose your mouth, loose your voice right now and say that. Nobody like Jesus. Go ahead and talk about him. Somebody brag on him. Somebody just take your time and brag on what God has done. Talk about what he's done in the word of God. Talk about what he's done in your life. Somebody just loose. This is a little free session here. And everybody just begin to praise him for his mighty acts, for his excellent greatness. What a good God. What a mighty God. How able, how strong, how merciful. What a wonderful God. Praise God. The main event was the day he hanged on a cross and the sun hid its face and the earth trembled and the veil in the temple was torn and graves were open. And death and hell in the grave went down into some spiritual abyss of a dynamic with him. And after that day, none of that would ever be the same. Death was defeated, and the grave was defeated, and hell was defeated on that day. Praise God. And he did that for you. And he did that for you. And he did that for you. Praise God. On that resurrection morning when Mary was there weeping and wailing in the garden. And the angel said, why seek you the living among the dead? And Jesus appeared unto her and called her by name. I don't know what he was doing right then, but she couldn't touch him. He was involved in something pretty important. Because later on, he let them all hug him and touch him and feel the nail holes and everything else. But he, I'm telling you, he is able. He is a good God. And Paul said, I believe that he can keep that I've committed unto him unto that day. If he can shut the mouth of the devil and close up the gates of hell, if he can do the miracles the word of God records, if he hangs the stars in their places, I believe he's got my needs. And he has what I've committed to him against the day. Now, he can only keep what I've committed to him. He doesn't intervene in your life without an invitation. He won't barge in. He'll let you sit there on a stump and suck your thumb and be miserable and bored and upset and depressed. He'll let you do all of that. But if you'll just open your heart and open your life and you'll begin to invite him in, he will keep what you commit to him unto that day. So I heard this. Brother Kedrick, I heard it. And I was 20, and I was evaluating it. And I walked around it, and I kicked the tires, and I looked at it, and I studied it. And we sat in Bible studies, and I held it under a glass. I tell you what, I really just loved it and believed it. So I gave him my life. I gave him my future. I gave him my sin. I gave him my youth. I had the best friend that I had through high school besides my wife, who was my best friend then and is my best friend now. But a guy that I spent a lot of time with, played ball with, played music with and everything. When he found out what we were doing in church, he said, this breaks my heart. He said, you are wasting your life. He said, you are wasting your life. And my only response was, isn't it great? Isn't it great? And I never have talked to him, and we've never spent time. But just watching the course of lives of those I've known and this life that I've lived, I'm just going to tell you the best life is a life committed to God. I've seen my friends. I've seen my family. And there is nothing like committing. Here, God, take my life. Here, God, take my... You know what? I gave him my 20s. And I don't regret it for a day. I gave him my 30s. I don't regret that at all. I gave him my 40s. I gave him my prime. I gave him my 50s. I gave him my middle age. I'm giving now. I'm about to give him my old age. And I don't know how long we have here. And I don't know how long I have. But I am prepared based on his track record to just give him everything that I've got. Whatever it is. The good and the bad and the ugly. Whatever I have to give, I'm going to give it all to him. I gave him my marriage and I love my marriage. I gave him my babies and I love my babies. I gave him my money and he's blessed my life. I gave him my worries and I've got peace in my heart. I gave him my sickness and you know God's a healer. He really is. I gave him my strength. I've poured out my strength in the kingdom of God. And you know, I hear people all the time saying, I don't know if I spent my life very well. And I don't know if I'm getting what I ought to get for what I've given to this job or to these men or to this system. But I'll tell you this, Jermaine, I've given it all to him and I don't have one regret and I don't look back at all. And I'm more excited about it right now than I've ever been in all of my life. I love this thing better than I loved it when I was 20. I love it better now than when I was 30. It's more real and vibrant to me now than when I was 40 years old. I want you to understand that he's a God for all seasons and a God for every age and a God for every passage in life. I gave him my yesterdays because I had messed them up. And I gave him my todays, and he's been an ever-present help in a time of need. And I gave him all my tomorrows, and my tomorrows have been so good, and God has been so faithful to me. Praise God. I gave him all my unanswerable questions. Lindsay, come help me. I have a long list of things that I don't know the answer two or four. I gave him my unsaved loved ones because I know he's good, and I know he's able, and I know humanity, and he's bigger than my love for those that didn't come into the gospel. So instead of dragging that around like a ball and a chain and fretting over it like a dog with a bone, rather, I've given it to him. You know, there are things that are bigger than you, and you just have to give them to him. You hear people saying, well, you just got to give that to the Lord, but that's not an empty and a vain platitude. That is absolutely the truth. You got to give that to him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I know that he is able to keep that I've committed unto him unto that day. And so the heavy things, the things that I don't understand, I've given them to him. My friends that have fallen, and my mentors that have gone astray, and my brothers in the Lord, and people that I've invested time and energy in the kingdom, and I've taught them Bible studies, and I've led them in, and I've wept with them and fasted with them and prayed for them, and they've acted like fools, and they've gone off as though God had not died for them. I could sit like Samuel sat mourning Saul. But God came to Samuel and said, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? Get up and get your horn of oil. It's time to go on with the plan of God. And I just want you to know tonight, I love you, but you can't be bigger in my equation than my devotion to God. So I want you to live for God. I'll do everything I can to get you to live for God. But you turn around, you turn your back on the things of God, you won't see me miss a beat. I won't stand at the door and say, oh no, we can't live for God because he's gone, because she's not living for God. I want you to know my God is bigger than any human relationship that I have, and I've given him all. I've given him all of those relationships. I've given him my offenses because I can't carry those things. I can't carry that stuff. I'm pretty much sociopathic, and I'm bulletproof in a lot of ways, and I can't tell you the last time I've been offended, but I'll just tell you what I do with it all. I just say, God, you look on it. I don't study it. It's like I ain't studying you. I just give it to God. But I watch people and the joy gets dragged down, and their fervor in God gets weighted down, and their life gets the air crushed out of it. Because they're fretting and worrying over what happened and who said what and who didn't do this and who didn't celebrate them and who didn't do. You way too involved and way too impacted by the people around you. You need to lift up your eyes and say, you know what? That's an amazing array. And that's an amazing God has put all that in place. I gave him all my offenses. I gave him my imponderables, the things that I can't understand. I have become childlike in his presence. And when I don't know the answer, I just say, my dad's got it. He can do it. He can fix it. He'll take care of it. My God, we were in the red building one night. Lindsay was having some kind of a deal. Not a seizure, but she was on her seizure medication, and it was suppressing her thyroid. You don't want me to talk about you. I know. We've seen you in action. You freaked us all out from time to time. But she couldn't breathe. She couldn't breathe, and her extremities were drawing up. And she's looking at me, Daniel. And she's saying, Papa, I can't breathe. And I got no power. I can't change that. I can't help that. I'm just a man. I can't do that. So I'm looking up and I'm saying, Papa, she can't breathe. I'm giving him all of that. Everything I can't carry. I'm so glad he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Now, in the mule and oxen union, you probably don't get the mail outs or anything where they talk about slackers among them. Because you just see the oxen pulling the load, and man, they're just getting it. But you don't know if one of them's just kind of pretending, not carrying much at all, and the other guy's having to carry it all. You ever see people carrying a load? You can let the other guy have as much of that as you want. I ain't hurting my back. But I'm just telling you, in this yoke that I share with Jesus, he's carrying the load. I'm just a part of the process. I'm just walking along with him. He's carrying the yoke. He's carrying me. He's carrying the load. He carries it all. Everybody say, I'm not ashamed. Say, because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed unto him unto that day. Praise God. There's some of you that's struggling with stuff you don't need to struggle with. You need to bring it to him, and you need to give it to him, and you need to let him resolve it, and you need to let him provide, and you need to let him take care of it, and you need to lay your head down on your pillow tonight, and you need to just go to sleep and say, you know what? He's got it all right in the palm of his hand, because he loves me so much, he died for me. Now, will he withhold any good? Do you know Paul just reduced it to this, that God commended his love unto us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't wait till you got good. He died for you while you were still a sinner. And then, how then will he withhold any good thing from us? Praise God. Come on, let's gather down around the altar tonight. I want somebody to just come and celebrate him. And I want somebody to come and leave something on the altar that you've been carrying way too long. And I want somebody to come and say, I'm about to go out and spend some time looking up at the stars and looking down at the grass and watching birds and thinking about how absolutely phenomenal my God is. Somebody needs to come and say, I'm going to quit looking at people. I'm going to quit worrying about what folks have done and things that are imponderable and things that are unanswerable. I'm going to give them. Somebody needs to come and just commit something to God tonight. Just bring it and say, I can do it, God. You do it for me. God, I can't understand it. I can't unscramble it. I can't fix it. But I want you to fix it, God. I want you to fix it, God. Come on. Come on, press in. God, we're going to give it to you tonight. Mighty God, we're going to give you all of it tonight. Hey.
said he would do.
The Lord, find somebody to pray with. Lay your hands on somebody. Pray down an anointing and a blessing on somebody near you there tonight. Hallelujah.
He's able.